Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55, reading verses 6 to 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and bud, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing to which I have sent it. And secondly, from the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Well, actually, verse 10 of the previous chapter. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land or on the beach. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. He issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do, and he did not do it. Amen. God will add his blessing to these readings from his holy word. I mentioned that some months ago, I believe it was September, that we left Jonah with the promise that we would come back and pick up with them again, and that is what we propose to do this evening. This is a wonderful book. This is a wonderful chapter, and these are wonderful verses that we're going to be looking at this evening. And how could they be otherwise? Because they are verses from God's Word, living Word. The first thing that we're going to notice obviously comes from the very beginning of the book, the beginning of the chapter, and it encourages me immensely because it tells me that God forgave Jonah. Now, Jonah had messed up. There's no two ways about that. He had made a real mess of things. Think of it for a moment. Here we have a servant of God someone who had been in the ministry for who knows how many years. He was God's messenger, a prophet of the Lord. And he had failed. And he had failed badly. As they might say today, he had messed up big time. And he had. He had let down his Lord and Master. He had run away from God, if that is not a contradiction in terms. You can't actually run away from God, because wherever you go, he's there already. You cannot get away from him. But Jonah, in his desperation, tried to get away from God. Why? He was a prophet of God. God had given him a commission, and yet he ran in the opposite direction. And I think there were at least two reasons. One of them we'll see tonight. One of them will be when we pick him up on a future occasion. But the reason that sent him in the opposite direction, one of the reasons, was fear. He was frightened to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh and the Ninevites were the arch enemies of his own people. He did not want to go there. And he didn't plan to go there. So therefore he ran away from God. Have you ever done that? You ever tried to run away from God? You know, you can't do it. You can try. But I'll guarantee you, you will fail. Because there is nowhere where you can hide. Absolutely nowhere. Jonah discovered that. And as I was preparing this word for this evening, I was thinking, if Jonah hadn't messed up, we could really start in chapter 3. But chapters 1 and 2 are because he made a mess of things. He failed. He didn't do what God told him to do. And yet this chapter begins, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. What does that tell you? God was willing to forgive him. Isn't that wonderful? God sent his commission a second time to Jonah. Why? Now take this in. God still trusted him. Wow. Isn't that something? God still trusted him. And yet, look at the mess he had made. Can you think of someone else in Scripture who did the same? Yes, I see someone can. Yes, he was called Peter. And he, on three occasions, denied the Lord. And then, towards the end of the Lord's ministry, Peter had gone out in an abortive fishing trip with another six disciples. I call it abortive because they caught nothing. And in the morning, Jesus was standing on the shore waiting for them. And once they had eaten, warmed themselves at the fire, Jesus tackled Peter. And he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Not once, not twice, but three times. "Do you love me?" And at the end of that, Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." And later, in the same chapter, "Follow me." He recommissioned him, as he did with Jonah. You know, if we acknowledge our failures, and I'm talking to those who know and who love the Lord, if we make a mistake, and who doesn't, if we acknowledge our sin, God will forgive. Isn't that what God's word says? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, Jonah had failed. Yes, Jonah had put the lives of all those sailors in jeopardy. They could have been lost because of his thronness. He would not listen to God. And he endangered the lives of those sailors. And God had to deal with them. And God knows how to deal with us. I would never have dreamt that God would confine him to the inside of a great big fish for 3 days and three nights, but he did. And in there, if you look back, chapter 2, verse 7, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you into your holy temple. Jonah came back to his God inside that great big fish. So that when he was spat out onto the beach, he was a man who had said sorry to God for my failure, and God forgave him. And when God forgives, we need to do two things. One, we need to accept God's forgiveness. And secondly, we need to forgive ourselves as well. And get up and move on. Jonah could have stood on that beach for the rest of his days, but he heard God's voice and he got up and he went. But deep underneath it all, God forgave him. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if you've ever done anything really bad. I'm not seeing anyone nodding, but I would nod because I've often done bad things. And I know that if I acknowledge and confess my sin, God forgives. I accept God's forgiveness. I will not grovel in the dirt and say, Lord, please forgive me, because I know I've confessed my sin. It's gone. Cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, buried in the sea, never to be seen again, removed as far as the east is removed from the west. From me. That's where my sin is. Where's yours? Has it been dealt with? Have you given it to the Lord Jesus? Because if you haven't, you're still carrying it. And beware. Be so careful. We had a dear friend who was the picture of good health. And on Thursday, she collapsed and died. We don't know how long we've got. We don't know how many days there are for us yet to live. And that illustration underlines for us the uncertainty of life. Let's be careful, but let's accept God's forgiveness, because when God forgives, God forgets. Get up, move on with God. You are forgiven. Wonderful. And the second thing I would like us to notice is that Jonah's commission still stood. Isn't that wonderful? You would have thought, in that he had messed up so badly, God was not going to trust him anymore. He was going to give the job to somebody else. But he didn't. There is no record of God sending anyone else to do this work. Jonah had been given the commission. Jonah was commissioned a second time. Why? Because he was forgiven. You see the difference that forgiveness makes? Forgiveness removes whatever it is that wants to separate between me and my God. God forgives, and God forgets, and God recommissioned his servant. Interesting, God hadn't changed his mind. I wonder if I would have changed my mind if I had sent someone to do something and he had messed up so badly. Would I trust him to go and do the job properly? I'm not sure that I would have. But God did. And that shows you the depth of God's forgiveness. Unfathomable. You cannot dig down to the bottom of God's forgiveness. It's too deep. Isn't that wonderful? Whatever I've done, the moment I acknowledge it and confess it to God, it's gone. And God's commission to Jonah still stood. It was still his job. It was still him who was going to have to go to Nineveh. I don't think there was any change in his attitude towards the Ninevites in the sense that they were still his enemies. He had had no contact with them. Of course, it remained the same in chapter 3 as it was in chapter 1. They were still his enemies. But God recommissioned him, gave him the job to do all over again. God still trusted him. Do you know that God still trusts you? Have you ever thought of that? When I am walking with the Lord, all my sin has been dealt with, I know that God trusts me. Not because I'm a wonderful person, because I'm not, but I'm under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes me clean, and it keeps me clean. No matter what you have done, if you've brought it to the foot of the cross, listen, it's gone. You will never see it again. Jonah was recommissioned. God sent him to do a job. Now, God had wanted Israel to do this job. And in Isaiah 49:6, he said, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." That's what God wanted to do with Israel. But Israel failed. And God scattered them amongst the nations. But that command was not dropped. Jesus gave that same command to the disciples, and by extension to the church, and by extension to you and to me. Our job is to go and do what God has given us to do. God's commission still stood. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, go in the light of that, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always." Even when study gets so difficult, God won't leave you. He will always be there. God will not turn his back on you. That task that has been given to you and to me was given back to Jonah, who had so dreadfully failed. failed his Lord. He was forgiven. He was recommissioned. And interestingly and encouragingly, third point, he was the obedient prophet. Why couldn't he have been that at the beginning of chapter 1? Why did he have to run away from God and cause so much heartache? I guess because he was a human being, just like you and like me. We're a bit fickle, most of us. We don't always take God at his word. Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we think, oh, I can't do that. That's what Jonah said, really. I can't do that. I'm scared. I can't do that. I'm scared. Have you ever said that to the Lord? But Jonah, somehow or other, and we'll come to this in a moment or two, but he gave his fear to the Lord. And we'll come back to that. He failed. Yes, he was forgiven. Yes, he was recommissioned. Yes. And the word that he was given was the same word as he was given in chapter 1. But interestingly, in chapter 3, he wasn't told what that word was. Look at it. It does not tell you what the word was. And the commentators tell us that Jonah would have been somewhere in the region of 25 days' journey from where he landed on the beach to where he got to Nineveh. And all during those days, be they 25 or 5, he would have been thinking over what God was calling him to do. And God would have been giving him his word. As we move forward in obedience, God reveals more light to us. That's very important. Sometimes we think that God is going to give us all the light that we need in a one-er. He doesn't do that. It's not that he couldn't, but he lets us see little by little. We don't always know what lies round the corner. There's only one way to discover what lies round the corner, and that is to go round the corner. So I would encourage you to go round all these corners with God. God gave Jonah a second opportunity. Sometimes we think that if we really fail, that's us finished. It's not. God gave him a second opportunity. And God forgave him. Don't beat yourself over the head because of your failures. Too many people do that. Too often we think, I've done this, I've done that, and we beat ourselves over the head with our failures. God doesn't do that. If we bring them to God, leave them at the foot of the cross, oh, that's the best place for them. Because when you leave them at the foot of the cross, they're gone. They're gone. Jonah, the obedient prophet. And if you're wondering what to do with the burden that you're maybe carrying at the moment, I don't know what that burden is, but you'll know what it is. And I would suggest that you take it to the Lord. He will take it from you. What does God's word say? Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord. Discharge the load that you've got on your shoulders onto the Lord Jesus, and he'll take it away. Jonah obeyed the Lord, and Jonah went. And I was trying to think as I was preparing, what would he have been thinking as he was walking towards Nineveh? No matter how many days it took, the great big fish could not swim up the river towards Nineveh. He was dumped down on the beach, and he walked, but he walked with God. What a difference that makes. If you walk with God, you don't walk alone. You never walk alone when you walk with God, no matter how heavy your burden might be. He obeyed God and he went forward. Fourthly, and this quite surprisingly, in the light of the first two chapters, I would call him the fearless prophet. You do not see that in chapters 1 or 2. It is the fearful prophet. But here, it's the fearless prophet. God's word to Nineveh had not changed at all. It was still going to be a word of judgment. Jonah was still going to go in amongst the people who were his sworn enemies. He was still afraid of them, but he took that fear and he gave it to the Lord. And that was the end of the fear. Fear can be a very, very dreadful thing. God's word was not an easy word to give. He was not going to Nineveh to talk about God's care, God's compassion, God's love, God's long-suffering. He was going to talk about God's judgment, which was going to come within a clearly defined period of 40 days. That's the message. Many would call it a very unpalatable message. But yet, it was the word that God had given to him. But if God was giving a word of judgment to Nineveh, it suggests very strongly that he loved them. And he wanted them to change. Otherwise, why did he bother sending Jonah to them unless he wanted them to change? And that's why Jonah was sent, to take God's word, to give them the opportunity to change. Not an easy message to declare. Jonah may well, in his more human moments, have given way to fear, but he obviously gave it back to the Lord. And Jonah gave what must be the shortest sermon in the Bible. 8 words. 8 words. That's all he was given to give, and that's what he gave. 8 words. Would Jonah have been tempted to modify God's word, to kind of adapt it just a little bit so that it wasn't so hard and harsh against them? After all, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. That's not a very easy message to give to your worst enemies, I would have thought. And yet, Jonah did not water down God's word. My friends, we're living in an age when God's word is being watered down by so many people who should know better, being watered down and saying that God's word doesn't really mean that. But it does. Let's never water down God's word, even if it seems to be unpalatable. Let's give God's word as he gives it to us. Fear can be a prison. In 1 Peter chapter 5. If I can find 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, casting all your anxieties on him, or casting all your cares or your worries on him, because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting my anxieties. Do you ever get anxious? I'm sure we do. Every one of us gets anxious over something. And Peter tells us, cast your anxieties on him, and he will carry them for you. Jonah did not give way to fear. Fear, my friends, is like a chain that binds. Fear is stronger than any chain that I know. Now, I would be willing to give £5,000 to anyone who can do what I'm going to ask you to do. Are you up for a challenge? I talked about a chain. Chains are strong. Chains can bind. And if you can break this chain, by your own human strength, I'll give you £5,000. I don't know where I would find the £5,000, but I'm sure Pat could find it somewhere. She does our money. Fear is greater than any chain. But you know what Jesus did on the cross? He broke our chains. Broke them. And they're gone. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that chain there is a Free Church chain. It came from an elder in the Free Church in Tarbert on Harris. It's very strong. Jonah gave his fear to the Lord, and Jesus took it all away. Our time is all but gone. Let's look finally at the effect of Jonah's word. Or should I say, the effect of God's word. Because Jonah was not speaking as a message of his own. He was speaking the word that God gave to him. Nineveh was a very wicked city. In fact, it had a name in the entire area for being the most violent city that existed. And yet, God loved those people. And he sent Jonah with 8 words. And those words broke through. Isn't that wonderful? You probably would not have found a city more wicked than Nineveh. And yet God's word, just that teeny weeny little bit of God's word, broke through. What does Jeremiah say about that? Jeremiah 23:29, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? God's word like a fire. God's word like a hammer which smashes anything and everything. And that hammer has already smashed Satan's power. Be it known that he is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe. God's word is so powerful. When I was a young Christian, I might have been 8 months to a a year old, and I was invited to a garden party in Inverness, put on for the funds of the Inverness YMCA. And during that garden party, a gentleman was going to give a message from God's word. And the time came for him to give that message, and he stood up and he spoke about God's love. And he spoke about a Savior who died on the cross, that whoever believes in him need not perish, but would have everlasting life. What a message. And he said, if you give your life to Christ, when you die, you will go to be with him forever and ever and ever. And you will always be singing his praises in heaven. And he came to the end of his message. And as he was walking round in the garden party, a man came up to him and he said, I didn't like that message you gave. Oh, he said, why not? What was wrong with it? He said, I wouldn't want to go to a heaven where you've got to sing forever and ever. And you know what the preacher said to him? Now, don't be shocked by this. He said, then go to hell. And that man was saved that afternoon because God's word broke through. Isn't it wonderful? If a word comes from the Lord, that word will penetrate. And those three words, four if you want to add the then, broke into that man's mind and heart, and he was all a tremble. And he needed to be helped afterwards, and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus, an utter skeptic. And yet, God's word broke through. God's word, all eight words of it, broke through into the life of the city of Nineveh. And they repented of their sin. They called for a fast, put on sackcloth, from the least to the greatest, from the palace to the meanest dwelling place in the lowest part of the city. Everyone turned to the Lord. That's what God's word does when we let it loose upon people and don't modify it. That's what happens when we faithfully declare God's word as he gives it to us, without changing it, but just gave it. Wouldn't Jonah have been tempted to add a few more words, a few more sentences? It doesn't say he did. It does say, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There is a time limit on God's word. There is a time limit on the day of salvation. I don't know when my days will end, and furthermore, nor do you. We don't know these things. We don't know when the Lord will return, as we were hearing this morning. We don't know. We need to be ready. Are you ready? That friend that I spoke about who had a heart attack, collapsed, never recovered, and died. That close friend of ours. She was ready. Are you? Are you ready if God's call should come today? Because it may. We don't know. Jonah gave the message that God had given to him. Hebrews 4:7 tells us, he appoints a certain day, today, saying, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't put it off. The Ninevites didn't. They turned to God. As a city, What about me? God's word tells me ever so clearly that God so loved, can I change it slightly? God so loved Richard Tallach that he gave his only begotten son, that if Richard Tallach believed in him, he would not perish, but he would have everlasting life. God's word is personal. It's for you. It's for me. If I come in faith to the Savior of the world, he will not turn me away. That verse, and with this I draw to a close. Very well known verse in Revelation 3 verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Let me close with three words, just three. Whoever you are, flee to Christ. Let's pray.